I'd like to start with a verse of a song, first verse of number 126. I thank thee, Lord, that I can cast my burdens all on thee. Though I be tempted, thou hast thine to bear them all for me. O Jesus, I will cling to thee. I'll love place my trembling hand in thine until the battle's o'er. You ever think in some of the songs that we sing, what was that person going through when they wrote that song? I don't think it was just somebody saying, we need another song in our book. I think it was a testimony of somebody. That song was written by D.O. Teasley's wife. Went through some difficult times, and she had a song. I thank thee, Lord, that I can cast my burdens all on you. You know what? Each of us will have some difficult times come to our life. I was singing of a verse. I love this verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I like that. As a Christian, I wish it meant what I'd like for it to mean. Get saved and everything is going to go good in your life. You're just going to have all sunshine and roses. But then I find another verse, because the Bible says where it's needing to have, don't just take one verse. Go check the Bible out, because it balances itself out. So this one, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So then we tag another verse onto it. It was good for me. He's going to give me good things in my life. It was good for me that I had been afflicted. Boy, now things start looking altogether different. What I call good and what the Lord calls good. You know what he calls good is the things that he's going to send into my life. And as a result of it all, it tunes me to where when I breathe my last breath, I make heaven my home. You know what? At that time, I'm going to say it was a good thing also. But we go through some things now in life to where I don't really consider them good. But there's another verse that says, all things are going to work together for good. They'll all, each ingredient put in through my life, difficult things that come to me through my life, will work together for good if I will let them. You know, 2 weeks ago, when getting ready for work, I took some things for granted. I didn't tell the Lord 2 weeks ago, Lord, I need some help getting my socks on. Or telling the Lord thanks when I did get them on. And then last week, I had a sciatic nerve problem, and I realized, Lord, I'm needy. You know that song, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand? We can get there real quick. It doesn't take but just one little incident. You know what it was? Last Saturday was our turn in the kitchen, and I washed pots. And I leaned over for several hours, and then I realized, you know what? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it seems like as we get older, it's more over in the fearful side. Things just start breaking on us. But I came to realize, you know what? In this week, I have called on the Lord more for little things, things that I never told him thanks for. In fact, I told him, Lord, if I have not appreciated good health, I want to tell you I'm sorry, and I will do better in the future. Because I came to the place where I would pray about four prayers to get my shoes and socks on. But I want to tell you something. The Lord sent me a little special blessing yesterday morning. It's time to come to meeting. I've got this ritual out ahead. Lord, here's my socks, here's my shoes. I can't bend over to get them. You know the verse that talks about an angel unawares? He sent one. It was my little granddaughter walked in the room right at that time, and I said, come here. You can help me out. And I mean, it was so much easier. What I want to tell you is, without me, you can do nothing. And we're realizing that. As we get older, we realize that more and more. We need the Lord's help. But what I want to do, I want to share with you a verse over in Isaiah 61. Some things that he wants to do for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Here's a trade. And this is the message that I want to share with you today. If I could give it two words, I want to share with you the message of trading up. Being able to take something that I have and trade it in for something better. I heard an advertisement from a car dealership. They said, we're taking trade-ins if you want a new vehicle. Said, drive yours in. If you can't drive it, push it in, pull it in. Just get it to us and we'll take it as a trade. You know what? And we've heard it through this meeting several times. Jesus is making the same offer to us. Just get it to me. That's all you have to do. If you need to drive it, if you need to push it, if you need to pull it, just bring your problems to me. In Matthew, because this one right here, he wants to do some trading for us before we go to Matthew, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, give them beauty for ashes. You know, it's not even a trade-in that he's going to profit from as far as a car dealership. You know, really and truly, the car dealership had some little parts to the ad that they hadn't told everybody. You ever heard on some of their ads, they've got to put some, all the information in there. So the end 15 seconds is so fast you almost can't hear what they're saying. They're telling you there's some reasons we're telling you pull it in because you're not going to, you could have taken it to the dump, better off. But Jesus said in that way. He's telling us, I tell you what, you bring your troubles, you bring everything to me. What does it say over in Matthew 11? The offer is to us all today, and I love it. 11 and 28, here's Jesus' offer. Sure beats a car dealership. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will, it's a guarantee, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul if I will come to him and bring it to him. I think we've had this song maybe this week. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. You know, we say that the gospel is good news to the sinner. I want to tell you that the gospel is good news to the Christian. This coming to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, is just as valuable for me and you today that have a desire to live for the Lord and make heaven our home. And we get loaded down with some troubles and some cares and some problems. And he says, I tell you what, if you'll just bring them to me. There's another verse over in Psalms, because there's some things that we're going to have to be able to do with the things we bring to him. But in Psalms 55 and 22, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You know, we find that in the scriptures, there's a load of promises that he gives us. This one doesn't say, maybe it will happen if you cast your burdens on him. It should, but it may not. No, this one says, I tell you what, you cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Doesn't say he'll never give them any trouble, allow troubles to come into their life. But just like we were hearing about the house that was built on the sand and the house that was built on the rock, storms came to both of them. Many times, Psalm 73, when we read it, can can be how we see the troubles that come to our life. Surely God's good to Israel. But as for me, my feet almost slipped, is the way that psalm is written. I started looking around and I saw, you know what, the wicked are prospering better than we are. There seemed like there is no bands in their death. There's no troubles. But I want you to remember, the devil would like for us to look at it that way. But let's all remember, the storms came to both houses. I thought about this. A house can be built on sand, and I believe it will stand just like the other if there was no wind, if there was no rain, if there was no wind, no floods to beat vehemently on it. It's setting good. But both of them had storms come to them. If I can just realize, you know what? Storms are going to come in my life. They have and they will. But I've got so many promises. If I just take it to the Lord. And here's another thing that I'm going to have to learn to do. Because if I'm not careful, I'll take it to him. I'll tell him all about it. And then I say amen. And I pick it up. And I take it on with me. And tomorrow night, I tell him again. There is a song that says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you will trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, if your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body sinks beneath the weight of care, Jesus will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. The ability that we have to be able to trade up, I am so thankful for that. But I want to tell you, this trading up requires some things to be done on my part. When we read over there in Isaiah where it says he's going to make some trades for you, he will give you the garment of praise. He'll swap it for you. That's what I want to talk to you today about, is that garment of praise. How do I get it? How do I keep it? You know what? Sister Marcia yesterday preached us a message with the title of Spiritual Choices. You know how I get this garment of praise and able to keep it? It's spiritual choices. It's things that I'm going to do with what's presented to my mind, the burdens that come to me, the things that load me down in my mind, what I do with them. What does it say over in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4? The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, I might not want to admit it, but I can have some strongholds build up in my mind about things that's happening in my life even. And whether I would rather they would go away and I would have that no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. But this one, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to just look at it because it's going to give me something that I've got to do. 10 and 4. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's some things that I've got to do. Casting down imaginations. You know what? When I can do that, I can start having that garment of praise working for me. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. This is my part. You know, God's got a part that says, Jesus did, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But you know what? It won't work unless I do my part. And this is in my mind here. I've got control of those things. I know that the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. I need to even take that serious in my mind to be able, do I have the power to just bring into captivity every thought? What I need to do is say, Lord, I need your help. I got these things that go on in my mind that cause me burdens. It can happen. It can load us down with care. And all the time there's this promise. If you come to me, I'll give you rest. If you will leave it with me into captivity, every thought, that's easier to preach than it is to do. But the Lord wants to help us with that, because what he would like to have us have come natural to us is we have that garment of praise that we have swapped out instead of the spirit of heaviness that the devil would love to load on us. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Here's another verse over in 1 Peter 1 and 13. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. That's tighten this thing down. Garment of praise, I need to button it up. There's some things that would like to happen in my life to where praise is not right at the forefront. I've thought of this before. If I could look at my thoughts as a mental library, and if I could go back and honestly before the Lord say, okay, Lord, in the last 2 weeks, where has my mind been? And you know, we don't even have to be thinking about sinful things. We can just be thinking about the burdens and cares that we have loaded on us and spend a lot of time with that. How big is my praise file? How easy can it generate in my mind? Or does it come natural to me? I want to tell you, I think there's a place that I can come to, and I desire the Lord to help me with that. That I be able to have more praise just naturally come, naturally flow out. Praise has nothing to do with that He's helped me. Praise has nothing to do with that, my back doesn't hurt anymore, I'm going to praise Him. Praise is about who He is no matter what He does for me. He has promised He will be with me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Cheryl had that hanging on her wall. Sarah helped her to make it. It worked so good for her, I said, I'm leaving that thing on my wall because I'm going to need Him to never leave me nor forsake me either. For each one of us today, there's going to be cares. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be things that want to pile up on us. I would like to be able to see in my own life praise generated easier. There's another place that I need to look at. That's in Philippians 4 and 8. You know, a lot of these verses, we know them, we've said them in Sunday school before. But I want to be able to have them working in my life. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there's going to be any praise come from those, think on these things. So I start getting some categories. These things cause praise to be diminished. These things can cause praise to be accelerated. So I want to be able to trade up. Jesus wants to be able to give it to me. There is an antidote for the troubles that can come into my life. Negative news comes to all of us. You know how fast it can affect us? I can have just negative things that happen to us. They can come instantly, and they can be very small things. Maybe it wouldn't affect you at all. A couple of weeks ago, I was headed to work, needed to stop at Walmart and pick up something. I look at my watch and I gauge it right. If I run in there and get back out to my car, I can make it to work on time. I got out to my car, going to be able to make it. I hit my key fob and nothing happens. Well, it didn't help that I had run it through the washing machine in my pants pocket. And I didn't realize that was the one. I pushed it. You know, we can sit here and talk about praise just coming to my lips. It wasn't praise. It was a prayer. Lord, please. All you need to do is help me with just one click. If you'll give me one click. And then I thought, I'll tell you what, it's a battery. I can run in and get me some batteries and put in it. And I'm putting the battery in. Lord, please. You can cause this to happen. Put the battery in. No clicks. I ended up having to call and Heather had to bring me a key and I was late for work. But I want to tell you, that's a very small thing. I would love it if that's my biggest problem I will have this year. But we have things that happen that I had prayer coming. But what if I could have just said, Lord, if I never get in this car, if I had to walk back home, I'm going to praise you all the way. What I say for myself is, this message is easier to preach than it is to live every day. But I think the Lord wants to cause me, cause all of us to say, Lord, in the difficult times that come, what can cause praise to just instantly come to me? Satan thought he understood who Job was. Lord, you have put a hedge around him. You have blessed the things that he has. Tell you what, you touch those things and he will curse you to your face. And he didn't. What did he do when all those things were gone? He fell on the ground. He wasn't kicking his feet. He fell on the ground and he worshiped. I didn't have anything when I came. I won't have anything when I leave. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Satan really wasn't thinking. He should have quit it right there. He should have said, you know what? I'm wasting my time. I'm not doing this again. But instead he comes along. Well, yes, you can take a guy's possessions, but skin for skin, everything that a man has, he's going to give it for his life. So he touches him with that. And his wife says, why don't you curse God and die? You know, Job went right back to praising God again. God gives us a lot of good things in our life. He'll give us some difficult things also. You're speaking like a foolish woman. And here's what I get from that. Brother Marty one time preached a message, when bad things happen to good people. You know that one that says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It just seems like good people ought to get good things happening to them. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But there's a verse that says, if we could just learn Satan's tactics, lest he should get advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of how he works. There's something. What if I could live in the place that the devil would say, I'm not trying that again on him. Every time I do something that should cause him to get worked up, it just triggers praise. It did that with Job. And I say, Lord, help me. If Satan would be able to know when I touch them with a problem, it automatically causes praise. Not that, you know, it's one thing for me to say, Lord, as soon as you answer prayer, my way, praise will come. You know, when the price of gold goes up, it's in difficult times. And when the economy is going down, gold prices go up. There is a value. Praise is like gold. I believe the Lord looks at it in difficult times in our life, that true praise can come forth. Just, Lord, I've got these difficult times and I am asking you, what does it say? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I get to tell him, Lord, I would like for you to do it for me this way. But I love Jesus' example for us. When I finish that prayer, to be able to have praise come easily to me, I've got to finish that prayer with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because it's real easy for them to start getting tangled up. I've got my request here. The things that he could do for me, thanks, is for what he has just done. Praise is for who he is, if it never changes. And there is a big difference for those. But when I can come with difficult times and from my heart have praise for who God is, Lord, I thank you. You have promised you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Maybe things won't go the way I want, but I know you will be there. I believe that praise to him is so valuable, and I want to be able to give it to him. I think we heard already people that went through difficult times. One of those was Hezekiah, and it's in 2 Kings in the 19th chapter, the 15th verse. Because difficult times can come. Sennacherib had come along, and he is defying the children of Israel. And he also has a track record. I've already been to this town, I've been to this town, and they all had gods too. Don't let Hezekiah tell you that his God, your God, will be able to save you. But I thought of what Hezekiah did when the letter was given to him, and I think it's real important for us to do it too. Satan is going to come to us and try to attack us. If I could only do what Hezekiah did and say, Lord, this letter from Satan to me, I'm going to put it on the altar because it came to the wrong address. Lord, this belongs to you. That's what Hezekiah did. He laid the letter out. Lord, this isn't really about me. This is about Sennacherib telling what you cannot do. And the praise that he gave to God, you know, he didn't have a promise of the battle coming out good. But what he did was just told God, Lord, you are mighty. You're above these others. It's true. They destroyed those other gods because they weren't gods. So he didn't even put him on the same level. Lord, you're up here. Just need you to help us. We come to those places. There was another one in 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter. Jehoshaphat gets some news, some negative news. There is a great multitude coming. And in maybe that next verse it says, he feared. You know, a lot of times when we get negative news, it could be about health, it could be about wealth, it could be about a lot of things. When negative news hits us, we don't have to feel like, you know what, I'm not way up here because I'm afraid. What does it say? What time I'm afraid? I'm going to trust. So it didn't say I'll never be afraid. But when it happens, here's where I'm going to direct it. And that's what happened to Jehoshaphat. In that 2 Chronicles 20, the great multitude's coming. He feared, and then he set himself to seek the Lord. That is so valuable for us today. And as we're setting ourselves to seek the Lord, we start praising him for who he is. And that's what happened there. He started telling God how great God was. He wasn't telling God something he didn't know. What he's doing is just telling God, Lord, this is how I see you. You remember Isaiah? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Maybe in the middle of some troubles, here's how I see the Lord. I want to be able to do that because I don't know what tomorrow holds. There can be some difficult times ahead for each of us. We can get some negative news comes to us. You know, and it can come so quick. You can wake up tomorrow morning and you are on top of the world. And all you need is one phone call of something disastrous that's happened to somebody and you can take a tumble. But I'm glad we don't have to live off of feelings. I am glad that what we can do is say, Lord, you haven't changed at all. You're still just the same as you were always before. And that's what helped Jehoshaphat, was when he said, Lord, I tell you what, I want to remind you just how mighty you are. Yes, I'm afraid, but Lord, I see you well able to help us out. And he did not know how it would go. But you know, they had some places where they, you know, he had to have swapped the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that would have loved to take hold on him at that time. But what did it do? It says that the Levites stood up to praise the Lord. You know, nothing's happened yet. They have not won a battle. The battle has not even started yet. But the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And what was their praise? The praise wasn't even about, Lord, I know you're going to whip them. It says that they praised the beauty of holiness. We're just going to step back from this battle that we're facing. And Lord, I'm going to just start giving you some praise for who you are. I am so thankful that you have put, you know, they talk about a wall of salvation up on every side. Strong bulwarks he presents to the foe. You know what? That's something for us to give praise for. That we have some boundaries put in our life. It's to protect us from the world around us. I can give praise for that. So in this one where it says when they started to praise the Lord. And I don't want to say, I tell you what, if I praise the Lord, then he's going to have to do it this way. No, that's not what they were doing it for. They praised the Lord just for who he was. leaving the outcome to Him. And I love another thing about that. It says we don't know what to do. In ourself, I don't know the right way. But He said we're going to just stand here with our little ones, with our wives, with our children. And Lord, it's almost like the Lord looked at that and said, I can't wait any longer. I got to come down and help them out. And we find so many places in the Bible that if I would have been able to tell the Lord, Lord, here's the best way for you to take care of this problem, He didn't do it that way. From Gideon to this one, in all of those places, He did it different. With this one, He's just letting them know, you won't even have to fight. Come out here and just watch, and I'll take care of it. I wish we would find throughout the Bible that that just consistently happened time after time. But I look at a contrast, and with this, I'm asking the Lord, look down in mercy upon me. There was a time when 12 spies were sent to check out the land. They came back with a wonderful report. They came back, it is exactly as good as anything we could have thought about. It is that good. But in our eyes, we're not able. You know, if only they could have gotten a hold to something that Jehoshaphat's people got a hold to. This isn't even about us being able. You know how that one ended with Jehoshaphat? It's totally different than I would have thought. They had come together united. There was three groups coming to fight them. It says two of them turned against the other and destroyed them. How does that happen? It comes from the God of heaven that is able to plant a thought in somebody's mind or a whole lot of somebody's that, you know what, this other group right here, we need to take care of them. They went out and they fought each other until they destroyed that one. Then it says they turned on each other. You know, sometimes after I look at some of those things, I say, Lord, help me to not even tell you how to do your business. Help me to just say, Lord, you have specialized in it in the past. You are well able to help me with it out in the future. You remember Joshua and Caleb? If the Lord will delight in us, let us go up at once. If He will just help us out. Where were the Levites at that time? What if the Levites could have stood up and said, folks, it worked in the past. It'll work in these times. Let's send up praise to the Lord from the heart. We're not talking about making a praise service. You know, it says there's this people draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That one won't work. But I tell you what, I don't have to stop with that one. I can live in a place to where my heart is in tune with Him. And I can give praise to Him for who He is. It's going to make a big difference for me. Joshua and Caleb was able to stay steady. For us today, praise is so valuable. In difficult times, I think the value is so much up there to God. There's a song. It's been a long time since I've heard it. But it says, when you're up against a struggle that has shattered all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed, this is something more than your key fob doesn't work. It's been crushed by Satan's schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit, not quitting, but just submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. You know, with Gideon, what did he say? You got 32,000 men. You got way too many. If you look over there, it was almost 5-1 that the enemy was ahead at that time. And God said, you have too many. What did they use to weed them out? If you're scared, go home. 22,000 said, I'm scared. Don't mind to tell you I'm scared. Let me go. And they headed home. You ever just stop to try to picture that event? A battle hasn't even started yet. And here comes 22,000 guys walking into the city. Report to us. What happened? Well, he said, if you're scared, come home, and I'm out of there. You know, that would be, I wouldn't want to come back to the city for a while myself. But you know what? I can be in those categories myself. Here's this trouble out ahead, and I don't factor in God, and I get fearful about it. Then he said, you still got too many. I've got to realize God's ways are so much higher than mine. His thoughts are so much higher than mine. He said, you got way too many. So for me, I said, okay, we're way outnumbered already, but let's get the best men. You remember David had some men that could sling a stone and not miss by a hair breadth. I'd take, how many can do that? But God says, oh no, go down there to the brook. Take a look at how they drink water. Only 300 passed then. And God says, you've got the right amount now. And he gave them the reason why. Lest Israel should vaunt itself at any one of these places, come out with a victory, and be able to say, you know what, we really planned how to do it. I really believe that's what happened with Joshua. His first opportunity as a commander, he's got Jericho out ahead. I can almost see in his mind, he's thinking, okay, in experiences in the past, in battles that we've had, this worked, this didn't work. But all of a sudden, the Lord comes along and tells him, okay, here's what you do. Get your people together and walk around it today and tomorrow and the next day for 7 days. And oh, let me throw in this little tip right here. Don't say a word. You know why? Day three, everybody's saying, this is not going to work. But instead, just obey me. We find that so many times in the Bible. Just obey. It's all you need to do. And to be able to hand it to the Lord. And the Lord took care of that problem. And he can also take care of ours. So it says, he can work through those that praise him. Praise the Lord. Our God inhabits praise. You will find God. You know what I say? Smelling in our assemblies. He will start smelling the sacrifices that we have of praise to him. And it can be something that he says, I'd like to be over there close to that. Our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. The chains that seem to bind you, they serve only to remind you that they will drop powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. The trouble didn't quit, but praise came into me. Going up to the Lord, Lord, this is who you are. You are well able to help me. The three Hebrew children had no idea how that was going to come out. In fact, they told him, what we can tell you is we're going to be delivered out of your hands. Maybe it's going to happen just the way you said because you heated it up 7 times. Possibly we'll go into there and we'll be destroyed. They didn't even stop at that one. They didn't say, okay, if it comes to this point, then we're going to change. No. Be it known unto thee, O King. And I think the Lord wants me, wants us in difficult times that will happen to us in the future, is just to be able to say, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, whatever that trouble may be that comes to us. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's going to take some training for me to be able to do that. And I don't want it to be just surface. I want it to be from down inside the heart that praise comes up when difficult things come to me. There's another verse that I want to look at in Hebrews in the 13th chapter and in the 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You ever thought about praise being a sacrifice that I'm bringing to God? An acceptable sacrifice that I'm bringing. And this one says, let us bring this sacrifice continually. And this sacrifice of praise made me think of something else. Do you remember where David, he had asked to number Israel and he got in trouble for it? Now a plague is on the people and David is wanting to offer a sacrifice. He asked this man, would you sell me some things to offer a sacrifice? The man says, look, I give it to you. What did David tell him? I'm not going to offer a sacrifice of something that cost me nothing. What I get from that is God is well pleased with a sacrifice that cost me something. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about in a place where I can be loaded down with care. And when I take it to the Lord and I learn how to leave it there, I say in all of these, Lord, please help me. There is a place over in Psalms, because we look at what things can bring us to the place to where we send up some praise to Him. I want to look at Psalms 107. Here's events that can happen. Starting in the 23rd verse. This is this people's occupation. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And here comes the Lord working in their life. He commands and raises the stormy wind. He lifts up the waves thereof. You ever had that happen in your life? Sometime I even want to blame it on the devil. The devil's causing these troubles to me. I'm going to rebuke the devil. You know, it may be that the Lord has just commanded a storm to come up in my life. He commands, raises a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. Can you imagine? The last place I'd want to be in a storm is out on the water in a ship. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Remember, when Paul was headed toward, he's headed out in the ship. What did it say? Because things were seemed to be pretty gentle weather, they struck out. And then after so many days that they could not even see the stars, you know, that's how they could tell where they were going, if they could see the stars, the moon, sun. After so many days, what it says, all hope was gone that we should be saved. Look at these people. It says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. You ever had problems where he's at your wits' end? Look what they did. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And this is a promise He made to all of us. He brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. I imagine they are. So He bringeth them to their desired haven. And then this next verse is for all of us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. What is the last verse in Psalms? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It didn't say when things are going well, here's a certain time in your life that praise should come. It just says if you're breathing, if you're still breathing, praise the Lord. You know what I'm realizing? If you can put your socks on, praise the Lord. Because things can change in your life. I was thinking about Brother Marvin. He was talking to me about the accident that happened to him. Accidents that happened to Rex Gibson. You know how quick those things happen? They're instantly. That I have moved from, I'm taking care of the needs that there are today. Rex Gibson had just been out working, bringing his equipment home, when a tire blew out and caused him all the difficulties that he faces today. We can have something so quick. Brother Marvin's was so quick. All of us can. But I say, Lord, please help me to start working on this in the good times. Because it should be pretty natural for me when the sun's shining to praise the Lord, to let it just roll off my lips, and I want it to be from my heart. But if I don't practice it in the good times, I'm really going to have trouble when the difficult times hit me. But I want to be able to, I've got breath. I want to be able to praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We have a song, number 53. Let the gates of praise be open, sounding forth the joy within, something that's down inside. Shout and sing, the Lord has spoken, for He saves and keeps from sin. But you know, that song has several verses in it. When our hearts are full of gladness, well, praise can just roll off my lips at that time. But that's not the end of the song. When the clouds above us hover and the hosts of hell are near, those are times that we can still praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, because I'm asking the Lord to help me myself. I want to have the garment of praise. And maybe I have caught the spirit of heaviness, but I want to be able to see there's a trade-up program for me. He will let me continue to carry the spirit of heaviness if I want to. But he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But I've got something that I've got to do. For me to be able to have acceptable praise to the Lord, I've got to just give him my life. Lord, whatever you send to me tomorrow, I'm going to realize that that is best. We sing that song number 111. That is so easy to sing. Takes just a few minutes and you're through with it. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and to know and to understand. Sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. Why has this problem come to me? What I want to spend that time doing is say, Lord, I am so thankful. You have not changed. You're still just as great, just as mighty as you were back there when Hezekiah brought you the letter. I've got a letter to you, Lord, from Satan bringing things to my mind. Lord, I want to just hand those things to you. I want to be able to have praise that rolls off of my lips. Maybe we could stand and sing number 53. Let the gates of praise be open. And I'm going to be able to find that best whenever I start seeing difficult things come into my life. I say, Lord, help me.